As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here in Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. Magical engineer Frank and I are ready to go, and we have a great show. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. We're going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, making brain tissue. Well, let's just get, you know, our science kit out and see what we can make. It'll be fun. And we have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face, mind the time, it grows short. And this puts us in 1 Thessalonians 5. I love this. It says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen to that. So if you want to know the true meaning of that, get into the Bible. Read about who the wrath of God is reserved for and who it's not. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. And Thank you, Frank. Okay, this is a brief cracker tonight, so first and last but not least. Managers are complaining that the Generation Z, they lack what they call soft skills, and they also have an unrealistic workplace expectation. A shocker, right? So the new Harris poll found that most managers, around 82% of them, are having trouble with the soft skills of the new Generation Z hires. They say managers are saying they need more guidance and time in the training process, and they need to help the Generation Z's function as expected in the workplace. Unbelievable, right, Frank? So they say the soft skills, by the way, include things like how to receive blunt feedback, how to strike up a conversation with a senior manager, stuff like that. Now, 3 in 4 managers are saying that it's harder to train new hires with soft skills than it would be to actually train them for technical skills required as part of the official job duty. Oh, I see people pulling their hair out. That's what I say. They say in the past, and especially pre-pandemic, I said most important soft skills were things like, you know, being assertive or driven and authoritative. But today, that has shifted towards things like emotional awareness and the ability to connect with others. See, I think this technology has isolated a lot of folks, and the pandemic didn't help. So social norms have shifted to the point that there are barely even any social norms anymore. And social cohesion is arguably at an all-time low across the United States as multiculturalism and diversity kind of shift the landscape away from community and that straightforward thinking, but to everyone for himself kind of model. So another factor that is radically changing the modern workplace environment is artificial intelligence, which threatens to take over many workplace roles, leaving humans out of a job. Goodness, how far we've come. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thank you, Frank. Frank has the comment. He says, anything about these maniac mad scientist is a quack reporter. Which ones are the Generation Z's? These are the kids that are under 30, I think. Under 40, maybe. I don't know. Google what age group that is, Frank. I keep forgetting. There's Generation Xers and there's Generation Z's. You know, I'm a baby boomer, so I keep up with that. All right, moving along. We're going to be talking about making brain tissue. Yes, yes. I can just see you getting your pots and pans out right now. So the more I read about scientific reports, the more I realize there is really nothing beyond the imagination of science. Now, if science wants to create half-human and half-animal hybrids, well, they're going to find a way to do it. And in the last few decades, science has really had numerous studies on, you know, blocking the aging process, to mastering the human brain function. Now, some new research recently was published and it discussed manufacturing human brain tissue. Now, of course, the report wants us to think this type of research will help fix neurological diseases, which it may, but such technology is not going to be used for just that. It's going to have other purposes. So we're going to talk about that in the first part of the show. So let's look at this human brain tissue research, because in February 2024, researchers at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, they stated they were working on what they hope will be breakthrough research to solve Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. Now, according to the report, they are using a 3D printer to manufacture brain tissue that functions like human brain tissue. So the research was published in the February 2024 journal Stem Cell, and we should keep in mind that any man-made tissue they think functions like the human brain is going to be reflective of their current knowledge level. There could be things about the human brain they have no knowledge about. So we got to take this with a grain of salt here. Sprang says the Generation Zs are 12 to 27 years of age as of 2024. Thank you, Frank. Mm-hmm. Under 30, what I thought originally. All right, so here is a quote from, this is a professor of neuroscience at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He is Su Chen Zhang, and he says, "This could be a huge and powerful model to help us understand how brain cells and parts of the brain communicate in humans. And this could change the way we could look at stem cells and neuroscience and pathogenesis and psychiatric disorders." End of quote. Well, let's look and see what the recipe was all about. According to the Professor Zhang, he said they used a 3D printer to make the tissue, but diverted from the traditional methods of stacking cells vertically and instead stacked horizontally. So this allows them to place brain cell neurons that were grown from what they call pluripotent stem cells, which are embryonic stem cells, and they place them in what is called a bio-ink. And a bio-ink is a fabricated tissue construct with programmed structures. Okay. No scientists here. I'm an herbalist, so just big old question mark what that means. Well, Dr. Zhang goes on to say, the tissue still has enough structure to hold together, but is soft and thin enough to allow the neurons to grow into each other and to start talking to each other. This makes it easy for the neurons to get oxygen and nutrients from the host media. And the connections of each printed layer and across layers form these networks comparable to the human brain. And the neurons communicate with each other through neurotransmitters to create support networks. End of quote. He goes on to say, we have successfully printed a cerebral cortex and the stranium. And what he found was quite striking, he says, end of quote. So let's look at this. What Professor Zhang and his team created with the cerebral cortex is part of the brain that houses higher-level processes, language, memory, reasoning, thoughts, learning, decision-making, emotion, intelligence, and personality. Now, the stranium part of the brain, this is the part of the brain that looks like has a striped appearance to it. It has gray and white matter, and it has distinct subcortical structures to it. And this part houses your decision-making functions, your motor control, emotions, habit formation, and your reward center. So Dr. Zhang goes on to say, even when we printed different cells belonging to different brain regions, they still were able to communicate with each other, end of quote. So why are they using the 3D printer? That was a question, too, I had. According to their research, they said using the 3D printer, it offers more precision-like control over the types of cell arrangements not found in other brain research, such as the brain organoids, which are less organized. Dr. Zhang goes on to say, our research allows us to produce nearly any type of neurons at any time. So we can piece them together at any stage in our configuration, anything we want. We can print to our unique design and watch how the brain operates. And we can observe nerve cells talking to each other, and we have great flexibility, end of quote. Oh, my goodness. So the report is stating that they can observe how the cells, you know, they significantly work together between the cells, the signaling. They can see the signaling between the cells. And they said they try to replicate that in Down syndrome and Alzheimer's patients, and they watch cell interaction even on certain drug therapies and when the brain is even growing. So they've been playing around trying to see how our brain works. What did you say, Frank? Meh, said Frank, says, see what I mean by meh, scientists. Well, I, you know, it's young Frankenstein, abnormal. You know, give me a glass of Ovaltine and let's read some more here. Let's look at the cell orientation. So the researchers are also, you know, thinking ahead about how to make enhancements to their brain tissue that they're creating. So this is also in the report. They want to explore the ability to, quote, specialize the brains that they are creating with a few improvements to the bioink and maybe some tweaks to their equipment in order to orient the cells and bring specific brain tissue on demand. And I'm thinking about this here, and I'm saying, this raises some questions, a bunch of questions. And let me just tell you some of the questions that went through my brain. It said, I said to myself, well, are they looking to make a human-like brain for artificial intelligence? That's scary, isn't it? And then how about offering holographic neural capabilities? You want a holographic in your brain? Okay, how about a brain more accepting of bionic implants? Yeah. Well, we got to give you this bionic arm, but, you know, unfortunately, we got to give you a new brain in order to have the bionic arm. I don't know. So you may be kind of snickering at the artificial intelligence question and your human-like brain for AI, but science is already tinkering with this notion of transferring artificial intelligence to our organic brain with a $19 million grant they have. They're working on it. Science will answer the question if this can be done. They are asking, can artificial intelligence be organic or biologic? The European company that's involved is called Another Brain. Apropos name. So, what did you say, Frank? AI is going to need a body eventually. young Frankenstein. So you go get me a brain, stick it in this body. second round on the Ovaltine, please. So let me read you a quote from another brain report. They said, we create a new kind of new artificial intelligence, a bio-inspired, frugal, low data and energy, and human-friendly, and alternative to the deep learning for people, end of quote. Whoa, right? So what are the chances that in the future there will be no schools as that we know of today, and children just be plugged into AI for learning? Think about this. Science is really operating in an unchecked fashion, for sure. So we are at the point where you can't put the genie back in the bottle. No, I don't think you can right now. What'd you say, Frank? AI will not settle for robot body. It will demand and feel what people feel and can feel. Yeah, but you can't put a soul in that thing. You can't have a conscience in AI connected to God, because God's not the creator of that. So what's going to fill the gap, Frank? What do you suppose is going to fill that gap? There's a vacancy in the AI. It'll be a psychopath. Well, I think it'll be demonic, if it isn't already. Yeah. Well, you can't put the genie back in that bottle. Mm-mm. Science wants to create, but what they create, man is going to have to live with if the human race can survive it. So this is where the Bible says God has to step in the end, because there would no flesh be saved alive. I think you leave man to his own devices and he just kills himself, basically. So here I am, my organic self here. I personally will protect what I was born with. Now, the Star Wars movies, they remind me what the future could look like with the half-human and the half-creature species. You know, back in the 70s when that came out, we really didn't take it seriously. That was just sci-fi, we said, right? But now you have to wonder just how far science will push creation. We will have to be observant, and we'll have to be wise in order to protect ourselves from what may manifest. Now, yeah. So using medicinal plants for wellness and stability, as well as staying close to God, our creator, well, that's what I'm counting on. So we're going to need both moving forward. say. If you want to know more, you can call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have a free catalog they can send you. They specialize on immune support, metabolic support, and detox herb formulas. So you can give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972, or visit The Power Herbs, thepowerherbs.com. And right now you can save 20% during the spring sale on orders of $65 or more. Use your coupon code SPRING24, but you want to hurry because the sale is going to end March 24th. And if you're trying to, you know, stock up on allergy stuff or cleanses before the summer gets here, then you definitely want to give them a call. Also, I want to mention there is the possibility of outages, power and internet outages. And I don't know if a lot of you out there realize that a lot of the business lines today run on internet. So when there's an internet or a power outage, or, you know, you don't have a phone line, basically. So what the folks at Apothecary Herbs did is they put in a backup landline, because it's real important to stay connected, isn't it? If you have a question about product, you want to check on an order, or you want to place an order, and let's say the regular phone lines are temporarily down, you want to use this landline number. So if you got something to write with, here's the number. 828-465-2867. That's 828-465-2867. So treat that like an emergency number, because we really, really won't have people manning that number unless there is an emergency. So thepowerherbs.com, you can go there. But if, like I said, if you got an outage, you know, at least if you write this number down and keep it somewhere, you'll be able to get in touch. So 828-465-2867 is the number for the emergency. An emergency connection, absolutely good to stay, no matter what may happen. It's a good idea to stay connected. All right, so we got a few minutes before we have to go to our first bottom of the hour break. And let's see, we got a couple of topics here. I think we're just going to tap into this. We've been hearing lots of reports about people, you know, predicting what the next bio threat could be. Okay. So recently, the most latest one that I saw anyway was a 2025 possible virus that's worse, engineered to target children. So to, I guess, you know, issue in more fear because, you know, people don't want to endanger their kids or children, so people obey, kind of thing. So let's just talk about predicting pestilence for a minute, because there's been a lot of pandemic models which science attempts to predict even the location and the devastation of an outbreak of disease. Now, one in 2017 reported, University of Hawaii, it was published in the WHO bulletin. They predicted a worldwide pandemic would produce 700,000 deaths and cost $500 billion. No one wants to think about this possibility being a reality of some sort of virulent pathogen kind of running amok, and reports stating that countries, including America, are grossly unprepared for an event like that. So we live in times where most people want big government to worry about these things. However, what government entities are, they're kind of ill-equipped in a way to deal with this. So there does have us answer the question, where does it leave us then? You know, if people aren't going to be showing up to help us, what are we going to do? So we would investigate, let's say, the what-ifs on something like that, you know, go with the worst case scenario and prepare for that. So we can half expect everyone else to actually not be prepared to deal with a catastrophic like that. So I have personally said to family and friends, you know, you know, prepare and have what you need on hand. If you don't need it, that's fine. But if you do need it and don't have it, that's not fine. So would you say, Frank, if anything like that, a worldwide pandemic happens, he says they did it. Well, yeah, it's an organized effort, isn't it? Because we're going to get into predicting pathogens like this because you can't really predict them because they're not predictable. You know, they're random. And that's how they naturally are. So if you're getting pandemics every 2 years, it's on a schedule that someone has put together. So science has advanced to such a degree that anyone with a little scientific knowledge and some equipment actually can cause a whole lot of health problems for the masses. So a few tweaks of microbes actually can make harmless gut bacteria a deadly poison. So biological weapons are a reality, and we already know that the security of a lot of these facilities around the world and in our country that deal with these types of pathogens are not really all that safe and secure. So what health authorities worry about most is an influenza outbreak, a viral outbreak. So the flu or influenzas, they're very common. They're in abundance. And they can enhance these pathogens fairly easily, and they can get out of hand fairly quickly. So if you think, you know, your drug companies are going to roll out antidotes for protection, understand that there are 9 standard influenza viruses that science knows about, and they all have 144 different subtypes. And that's before genetic engineering. So the researchers at Computational Biology, they did a study at the University of Texas in Austin. They attempted to predict what months pandemics might prefer to emerge. And they looked at the data for this flu season, and they looked at cases there, and the scientists were suggesting that pandemics may like to materialize in the aftermath of a flu season, suggesting spring and early summer months are the months we should worry about. They also suggested that the possibility in the aftermath of standard flu seasons that the population may have a weakened immunity at this point and would be more susceptible to a pandemic should it occur. And this is a kind of an educated guess on their part by science. So we should be aware that spring and summer may not be the safe havens we've always thought them to be. Here is Dr. Joel Miller, Institute of Disease Modeling in Bellevue, Washington. He says, the research shows that pandemic viruses are most abundant and are most likely to spread in spring and early summer. All 6 flu pandemics of record have had occurred since 1989, emerging in spring and summer months, end of quote. Well, this, are we getting close to the break, Frank? I lose track of my time. Oh, right on time. Okay, I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back with more.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, Call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Thank you, Frank, Magical Engineer. Okay, we're talking about predicting pandemics or pathogen release. And so the next step the research team actually suggested is for science to use their data to try to pinpoint the cross strains of influenza that would most likely lead to a pandemic emergency, usually at the end of a normal flu season. So if science generates the most deadly list of virus pathogens that are likely to start the next deadly pandemic, then it could spark some drug companies to try to fast-track an untested new flu vaccine to be given at the beginning or at the end of a regular flu season as an attempt to stop the next pandemic from happening. Let's look at the most deadly. So what will the most deadly list of flu viruses look like? Well, in May 2018, John Hopkins Health Security Center attempted to look at that. What characteristics, they were asking, would the next pandemic look like or have? So history shows that the most deadly strains attack the respiratory system and are transmitted through droplets from infected patients like coughing or sneezing. Here is the best guess science list science offers on the pathogens. They say a contagious pathogen during its incubation period before symptoms occur or during mild symptoms. That is the picture of the most virulent way because people aren't on their guard when they get a little sniffle yet. Also, the pathogen needs a host population with low immunity. So people that are getting lots of serum shots have lower immunity because it really doesn't help you with antibodies. Also, high mutation rates and also offers a significant fatality rate. Okay. So according to the scientists, they have really described an RNA virus. So these are viruses that have genetic information stored on genetic material like a strand of RNA. And according to medicine, the RNA viruses are classified as class 3, 4, and 5, and even 6. So they differ from DNA viruses that are classified as class 1 or 2. So your RNA viruses can have more than one strand of DNA, and they have a strong mutation rate. And some examples of RNA viruses would be Ebola, SARS, rabies, West Nile, polio, measles, your influenzas, hepatitis C, common cold, and even your retroviruses like HIV and AIDS. So here's a quote from the Johns Hopkins Health Security Center. They say, RNA viruses generally have very high mutation rates compared to DNA ones, and this is one reason why it's extremely difficult to make effective vaccines to prevent diseases from an RNA virus. So your RNA viruses offer different strands for their genetic codes, and the single-strand viruses, they only have 31 different virus families that science has identified. Now, some of these families contain plant viruses, and one toxicology analysis suggested that in just two of the viral families, it included viral assignments from pests, hepatitis, retroviruses, anterior viruses, which are viruses that produce lesions like fever, edema, respiratory disease, dehydration, hemorrhages, and even death. So Ebola would fit that. So let's see, another quote from the Health Security Center. They say infectious disease preparedness focuses on historical lists of pathogens from biological warfare agents, political resources, and recent outbreaks. So this fails to account for the most serious agents and the ones not currently known to have historical precedent, end of quote. The novel virus, as we've been told, the novel virus. Well, COVID wasn't novel. The first COVID virus was created in the 70s in New York City. They created one, two, and three. COVID one, two, and three. So it's not novel. So where do we look? Well, it appears that scientific scholars are in disagreement on where to look for the next global biological pandemic pathogen. So if I understand what scientists and in the pathogen sector are saying, is that they are worried about a disease they have not encountered before. So if there is an exhaustible catalog of pathogen possibilities, how could any government, healthcare system, drug company, or individual be prepared? Seriously. Well, according to scientists, they have adaptable preparedness. So in these new threats, they're saying, are really not, if they're not part of the historical data, it leads them to project that they're calling them event-occurring viruses. So get ready to hear about pandemic potential pathogens. And this research is, you know, aggressively pursuing more universal flu vaccines to include your RNA versions. And we're also seeing more virus sniffing devices because, you know, they're usually around high-risk areas, transportation like, you know, airports, capitals, so terminals, you know, bus terminals, train stations, even in retirement homes, schools, and daycare centers. So, but I'm just telling you that pandemics are random. You really can't predict them. And if you look at history, and I know these virologists have been looking at history, they see that, you know, it's usually maybe every 50 years or longer, could be like 300 years before we get another pandemic. But no. we're getting them kind of on a regular basis now. I mean, I did a show on the timeline of pandemics. You remember that, Frank? I think you do. And, you know, starting back, you know, with the Greeks, you know, in Hippocrates' era, you know, pandemics were like maybe every 100 or 300 years. And then as we've moved along in the progression of science, that time frame between pandemics has shortened a bit, got to maybe 50 or 60 years. But now we have this unheard of, you know, pandemic within a 10-year period even. So if we get another one in 2025, that's not naturally occurring. It is just not naturally occurring. All right, so we got a few minutes here before... Oh, yeah, we got a good amount of time. So we're going to be talking about some other things that are really cool and I think will help us with regards to blood pressure issues. You know, people, that's on a lot of people's mind, blood pressure, especially if they get older, over the age of 40. People are, you know, put on these drugs more frequently in earlier ages, and medical science has really told us that people can have diabetes before their blood pressure indicates that they have the disease at all. So now our medical science is saying that 1 out of 8 Americans has a blood pressure problem that is not showing up. It's not been diagnosed yet. Doctors aren't seeing it yet. So kind of a phantom type of issue. It's invisible. So medicine is, you know, calling it phantom blood pressure. That's masked hypertension, like, you know, like the Lone Ranger wearing a mask. Uh-huh. So now last month was February. That's usually Heart Health Month. You know, a lot of things roll out in February with regard to heart health. You probably saw a lot of the ads and stuff. So according to the medical science, there is approximately 17 million people out there with phantom hypertension. So that's a lot of people. So, and I'm sure, you know, people are kind of stunned to learn that their normal blood pressure reading isn't normal at all. So, you know, it doesn't take but a few bucks to go to your drugstore or your big box stores that have, you know, a pharmacy area. They sell these little wrist blood pressure cups. They're not the big ones that wrap around your arm and you have to pump them up. These are the ones that just kind of wrap around your wrist and you push a button and it gives you your blood pressure reading and also gives you your heart rate. Okay. And you can save, it records your readings for you. So you can save it. So you can check your blood pressure pretty quickly in less than a minute or two and get an idea of what's going on. I think those are just a lot easier to operate and use, less cumbersome, and people are more likely to use them. And they're less expensive. So, I mean, I don't even think you'll spend $50 on one. Now, typically what happens is in your phantom blood pressure, it may read normal at your doctor's office, and then it becomes elevated outside of the doctor's office. So this is how the study is describing this condition. It was done at the Mailman School of Public Health in Columbia University, New York. Kind of familiar with the phantom term of a patient's blood pressure being elevated maybe during a visit to their doctor, but then it drops normal when they leave and go home because people get all nervous when they go to the doctor's office. But this is the opposite. It is hypertension while you're not at the doctor's office, but when you're at the doctor's office, it's normal. So people can become nervous or anxious while they're visiting their doctor, and it elevates their blood pressure a little bit, and it's really not due to cardiovascular condition at all. So in the study, the researchers, they looked at 800 adults who had no history of hypertension at all, and they took their blood pressure initially and then had them wear a blood pressure monitor that registered blood pressure every half hour. So it revealed that 14% of the test group had what was called phantom hypertension. Now, the only way for modern medicine to diagnose
this, also known as masked hypertension or white coat hypertension, is to have you wear a 24-hour blood pressure monitor device. That's how science has to find out, see? So this research confirms some other research on this type of condition. Stony Brook, Cornelius University, they got a report published in 2016 in the Journal of Circulation. So in that study, 15% of the test group had the phantom hypertension, which is has also been also called by medicine, by the way, borderline hypertension. Another element that they did point out was in the earlier study that people that had the phantom hypertension outside of a clinical setting were younger and had normal weight compared to older patients that were overweight. So we should note that the phantom hypertension syndrome occurs when the participants are arbitrarily ambulating throughout their day, not extreme exertion, because exertion would increase your blood pressure. So, yeah, they're trying to make sense of this. It's younger people, normal weight, they got phantom blood pressure problems. All right, here's a quote from the health advisor. They said, the increase in blood pressure happens because there is an increase in the demand for oxygen by the muscles. To ensure this, the heart beats with more force so that more blood is pushed out. And as the heart is working more, the systolic blood pressure increases during exercise or exertion. So yet medicine acts surprised at finding this. Makes sense, doesn't it? Here is a quote from Dr. Joseph Swartz, professor of psychiatry and sociology at Stony Brook, who says, these findings debunk a widely held belief that ambulatory blood pressure is usually lower than clinical blood pressure. What's this? You know, if you're moving around, you know, your heart's working a little harder, your muscles are heating up, yeah, your blood pressure is going to go up. That's just common sense. So what does the medicine recommend? Well, the medical science, they are suggesting patients with phantom hypertension get monitored on a regular basis. This may require wearing that monitoring device every day, but it does also recommend patients stay in contact with their doctor and have frequent checkups. All cardiovascular disease is treated by modern medicine with prescription medicine and surgery. That's their treatment plan. That's what they're taught. So if you're on the path for drug therapy and then surgery, that's where you go, allopathic medicine. If you're on a course to maybe fix it without drug and surgery, well, then you would have to go to natural medicine. You would do the work. You would have to make changes. Diet, lifestyle, of course, has to be, you know, consistent. And it's work, you know. So white coat medicines, pop a pill and don't worry about it. But you know what? You'll be worrying about it in about 20 years. So what does the hypertension diet look like? Well, over the last two decades, many reports have been published on the effects of diet and your hypertension, and most Americans really don't stick to those diets. They're inconvenient. They like their processed foods. So this is kind of a mistake most people make, listening to their doctor when the doctor says diet's not enough. Got to stay on the drug. So consistent whole food lifestyles over time do correct most health issues because food is your medicine. Okay? Consistent whole food lifestyles. So high blood pressure, cancer, diabetes are barely a blip on the map when it comes to those living in the Mediterranean diet. People in the Mediterranean, they don't have Western problems like that. It's because they how they live, their diet. So this lifestyle is pretty basic. They use whole food, fruits and vegetables, whole grains. They do eat meats, but their portions aren't excessive. Americans eat way too much meat. They use cold-pressed olive oil. They consume wine, you know, but not excessively. They don't use a lot of processed oils, over-processed foods. white flour. They don't usually do all that. So now in February 2008, this is volume 63 of the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition. It was published, they were publishing a study on the basic way of eating. So they concluded there is a direct link between the lifestyle of reducing hypertension. So the reason is that organic foods in their original forms are packed full of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and proteins, and the body needs to retain that for health. So fast food, prepackaged foods, don't offer that. So in addition to the, they say avoid smoking, avoid excessive alcohol, and substance abuse, that helps protect your cardio system and really the whole body. So the alternative is to eat, you know, your crappy Western diet and rely on your pharmaceutical drug therapy, and then, you know, wait a decade, and then you have to go for surgery to save your life. Let's look at some heart tonics. Those were always a big deal in Europe. And you know, the early settlers used them a lot. Those who have very weak cardiovascular systems, they need a lot of support as they transition away from maybe their toxic lifestyles that is not helping them out. And there are medicinal herbs that can help. History shows us that civilizations of the past, such as the Greeks and the Native American Indians, they have tapped into certain herbs to help their heart system. They would use hawthorn berries. That's just one example. And Africa uses hawthorn berries. They bake them into their breads. Helps keep their blood pressure low. Well, normal. Because hawthorns are a natural blood thinner. So the name hawthorn comes from the Old English. It means hedge thorn. It's easy to remember that hawthorn berries are for the cardiovascular system because they have these bright red colors to them, just like blood does. So this very small berry is packed full of antioxidants, and it's very important action in balancing cardio systems. So the medicinal action hawthorn berries do offer is it strengthens the heart muscle, dilates coronary arteries, reduces chest pain, helps prevent blood clots, and lowers blood pressure. One of the other things, because of the flavonoids in your hawthorn, it actually protects the cells of your heart should you have, for some reason, lack of oxygen and blood flow to it. Because what a heart attack does is it kills a lot of those heart cells because there's lack of oxygen and blood flow. But the hawthorn berries help protect those cells to survive longer should there be an event like that. So whole food diets really are going to be the key for overall health. The medicinal herbs are foods, really, that can reverse devastating conditions like angina, chest pain, arteriosclerosis, congestive heart failure, hypertension or hypotension, circulation problems, anxiety, arrhythmia or heart flutters or AFib, low stamina, insomnia, weight gain, hot flashes, strokes and heart attacks, indigestion, and liver malfunction, just to name a few. I mean, a lot of people don't realize herbs have power like that. It's because, you know, the medical area doesn't study herbs, and so they tend to just poo-poo them. So before you say the ancient people using hawthorn didn't know what they were doing, wasn't a legitimate scientific medicine, wouldn't really deal with my heart disease, well, check some medical research, for instance, on hawthorn. In 2008, the Center for the Advancement for Health studied hawthorn and found it can help with regards to heart health. The Cochrane Research Group was involved, and they tested hawthorn extract, comparing it to placebos in treating chronic heart failure patients. And here is what they said the hawthorn berries did. It improved tolerance to exertion and workload. It increased exercise tolerance, reduced oxygen consumption by the heart, reduced shortness of breath and fatigue, and no side effects, as with heart drugs, such as nausea and dizziness, heart or stomach complaints. So, and, you know, the science is just stunning. But, of course, herbs don't make them any money. This is from the University of Exeter in UK. Dr. Ruling Gu, complementary medicine, he said there is a good evidence that hawthorn extract can bring additional benefits. And Dr. Max Piller, director of complementary medicine, same university, says, if I had chronic heart failure, I certainly would use Hawthorne. And that says a lot. Also, Dr. Greg Farnow, director of the Heart Failure Program, University of California, Los Angeles, says there was a larger Hawthorne Berry study released in 2007 that impressed me even more. The study was not included in a peer review and remains unpublished, and it does indeed demonstrate that Hawthorne is not only helpful, but it is going to help normalize function, and it's recommended. It is an attractive element to think that there is a natural over-the-counter supplement that improves outcomes. Unfortunately, medical professionals have not been able to identify it this far. Well, because it's not been published. You know, it's kind of buried. And that's what you see a lot. So, you know, Hawthorne berries and many other type herbs work to strengthen and regenerate and the cardio system. But herbs do not make modern medicine the profits their drugs do and their surgery does. So therefore, you can expect most physicians and cardiologists aren't going to know about these studies, aren't going to know about these herbs, and they don't pay any attention to any of it. So it's a very sad thing when people put their trust in science when it does not always have their best interests in mind. As more people figure this out and use foods and medicinal plants to correct the health problems, you're going to see the market change. So just think what life would be like without soda and candy and fast food and convenience prepackaged foods and snacks. Weight would be much easier to manage, and a vast majority of internal medicine diseases would just vanish. It's that simple. Aside from trauma, the wrong foods support your modern medicine outfit and your drug industry. Think about that. That's why the FDA approves all that stuff. It's on the market, even though it'll kill you. It'll slowly poison you. So you have a lot of power and a lot of control, and you don't need a prescription drug, and you don't need a copay card or insurance card. You have the power over diet right now. And you can use some medicinal plants to help you out in a transition, because a lot of these herbs, these medicinal plants, are very potent, powerful, lots of minerals and vitamins in them, which the body needs to help regenerate and strengthen itself. So if you're interested in learning more, there's a whole cardio section at thepowerherbs.com. You just click on the little heart symbol, and you can see there's Hawthorne berries there. There's a bunch of stuff there. There's even an herbal heart attack pack there. So check them out, give them a call, get their free product catalog, and be empowered. The number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Don't forget to sign up for the free online newsletters that go out each week that will give you, for free, empowering information like you've just heard here today. Just sign up for the American Survival or the Health Quest, and absolutely free. Just go to the Power Herbs, click on Books and Newsletters, and sign up there. You do have to have email to receive those newsletters. And the spring sale is still going on. It will end on the 24th of March, so get your orders in so you can save the 20%. Details are online, or just call and ask about it at 866-229-3663. I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician, if you dare, before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.